I can't remember off the top of my head.
My memory's short. I can't remember off the top of my head.
If this gets back to Mickey that you can't name one lady ball, what, you're going to be in his doghouse. You're going to be in Doc's doghouse.
All right. I'll say this, Roger, if I can say one thing to Roger real quick.
All right.
Roger, Doc.
He's Commander Deer on the Chloe show.
No, I'm not the command. I'm not the commandeer of anything. And but listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me, Rojette. I don't have a dog in this fight, but we all love you, Rojette. We just want you to see the light. Doc Deerstone hates the men's balls.
No.
Yes.
No.
TR, explain to him, because TR is very perceptive. TR, how gleeful is Doc, that sound in Doc's voice after the football team loses on a Monday? Does he not sound like he's got some extra pep in his step?
Dude, I do not listen to him. I mean, I've known to stop by there for a 20 to 45 second deal. That's it, man.
Thank you, dude. TR, how many times did he go into to Thompson Bowling Arena when it was open? In the Ernie and Bernie years. How many times he say? He's lived here all his life. Stokely, I mean, yeah.
He was boasting like dismissing the whole Ray Mears team, you know, at its pinnacle. I went over there a couple times. he's a freaking damn
Kentucky
Regal
fan.
Regal Kentucky
fan.
Adolph Ruff. You know,
He's a Kentucky bootlicker, and he hates the men vols. But
no.
Roger won't say it.
No, he hates them,
Roger. He despises them with every fiber.
Hey, Roger, change gears. Who's going to propel us Saturday afternoon in Star Vegas?
Are you coming with TR to sushi spot tomorrow, Rojette? TR, are you going by to get Rojette or am I?
I don't know where I would pick him up at.
At the Waffle House down on
at the Waffle House.
Cedar Lane. Let's sing it. Ready? Let's sing it. Ready? Ready, ladies and gentlemen, Marshall Andy for Waffle House. Waffle House, Waffle House, meet me at the Waffle House. That's where Peaches Pumpkin too. There's one near you.
Hey,
Jerry DeNardo should meet him at the Waffle House.
You just gave an Italian slur and I'm out of here. You just Italian slurred me and I'm out of here.
Hey, Roger, you want to tell Basilio he's out of here?
Yeah, do it.
No.
Come on, do it.
No.
Roger, just say it.
No, he's not on to that.
Okay. But you're going to take a shot at Lammy, though, right? So if Lammy shows up tomorrow.
Lammy, are you man enough? I'm talking to Lammy now. Are you man enough to come to Sushi Spot tomorrow? And you better leave my boy Roger alone, Lammy. You're very fortunate because Lammy right now is in the middle of his appeal period for his Peyton Manning call earlier in the week.
That's a great call.
I'm not sure if Lammy's going to be a part of what we're doing going forward, Rojette.
Yeah, wow.
Should we suspend Lambert forever, Rojette? What do you think?
Not forever. No, not forever. But,
just for a long time.
Yeah, I would say this time. I was like,
you want Small Mike back? You think we should bring Small Mike back to the radio family?
I don't know.
How about Jeker? You like Jeker?
Yeah.
Hey, you know Jeker's working in town now. He could probably
come get you.
He could probably come
Although
get
I
you
wouldn't
tomorrow.
Want him riding around with Jeker.
I got somebody in mind I can add, Tony. I'm gonna try Dave. I can come tomorrow.
Well, hopefully I can come by and get you, Raj. It depends if I go to my group in the morning or not. If I go to my group, probably can't come get you. If I sleep late, I might be able to come get you.
Okay.
Hey, Rojette, I bet you here's what you need to do. If you call Doc tomorrow,
Yeah.
See if he'll give you a ride. HR, you think Doc will give him a ride?
See if he or Heather and Jacoby take a road trip to the sushi spot.
There you go. You think Doc would give him a ride, TR?
They'd be in there acting all buddy-buddy.
You're defending him. How many rides does Doc give you?
Yeah.
None.
Well, that's what I thought. You know why? Because he hates the Menvols.
And the whole time, Jacoby would be in there trying to... All
right, Dad, Lee, now we like Jacoby.
All right.
Sushi Spot Shane, he'd be in there trying to cut your throat.
No, no question. You know, Basilio has no listeners. He's got no listeners.
Wait a minute.
All right, guys, I gotta get out of here.
Love you. Hey, TR, thanks, buddy. Thanks for the memories.
Go Lady Balls.
Go Lady Balls. Who we played tonight, TR?
Arkansas.
What time's the game? Right now?
It's currently tipped off, man.
Just got underway. 9 o'clock tip.
Rojet, name two players on the floor currently for the Lady Balls.
I'm not sure.
Delino DeShields. Diamond DeShields.
Okay, Diamond DeShields.
That's a one. Go ahead. Give me another one.
Rojet, this is where you throw a dock at him. All right.
Give me the second one. Massengale. Right. Ariel Massengale.
Okay. I'm Massengale.
All right.
All right. Do it, Rojet.
All right.
Rojet, I love you, man. I appreciate your spirit. Don't listen to TR and Lammy. Don't let those guys get you down. They're haters.
Okay.
They're haters, all man.
Okay.
All right. See you, Rojet.
All right,
love you, buddy. See you guys. Hey, we'll catch you next week here in Neutral Zone. Have a great week. Enjoy the games this weekend. See you, Rojet.
Tony Basilio along with David Bivens. David owns the Bop Shop in beautiful Fountain City, where I've been blessed enough to teach. David, I came to you about a year ago.
Yeah.
Right about a year ago to take lessons.
Yeah.
Man, you got me playing.
Well, you came in playing, Tony, so.
What's your advice to somebody like me who played for a while yet never took lessons and having trouble getting to that next, taking that next step? We're going to play a little music today, but do you have any advice to somebody that's kind of stuck?
Well, just try and refresh. Hit the refresh button, you know, mm-hmm. any way you can. So if it's finding a teacher or getting mm-hmm. on YouTube, getting a book, mm-hmm. Doing something different.
Where was I when I walked in to see you?
I think you were pretty good. When you played, you've been playing for 20 years, and I knew pretty quickly that you were pretty experienced. I think what you didn't have was very much music performing experience. So you don't have the challenge of having to, you know, you can't stop. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, you just have to play.
And yeah.
You know,
you can't stop. You get on stage. Yeah. And so today we're going to play some stuff, and I'm going to mess up, and you're going to mess up. But the reality is that most people that listen aren't going to hear our imperfections. We have a tendency to focus on our imperfections.
Yeah.
But life is imperfect.
That's right, yeah.
We're going to do our 10 Years Gone that I stole from a guy online named Jim Richter, who I saw do a mandolin version of this. He kind of had a mandolin arrangement of it. We've both decided it's better than the record. We don't want to offend the Led Zeppelin people. But it's pure, it's stripped down, and it really lets the music side of the thing speak.
I think so. I like it.
All right, let's do our thing. Here we go. Bop Shop, by the way, online, David, how do they find the Bop Shop?
TheBopShop.net.
Bop Shop.
The.
TheBopShop.net.
Yeah.
TheBopShop.net. And this is 10 Years Gone, Jimmy Page. God bless you, brother. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, and...
Now that's fun.
That was good. So, and another thing, Tony, you play mandolin,
right?
As well as guitar. So that's really cool, too.
I don't know if I play it as well as guitar, but you teach what? You teach bass?
Well, bass and guitar. That's really
bass, guitar.
And I teach piano.
Piano.
And then I picked up banjo when I moved to Knoxville because Avett Brothers and Mumford & Sons,
right,
they made it cool. A lot of teenagers would call me up for banjo lessons, and I found that I actually really love the banjo.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more than I thought.
And so we're going to bring you in here one day and do some banjo stuff.
I'm working on it, yeah.
Do some fun stuff. We've been playing, just fooling around last couple weeks, a lot of bluegrass stuff, and we've worked up a couple bluegrass tunes. You come from the New Orleans area and a lot of that tradition. You were telling me a story last night. You know, I used to think that playing was playing a lot of notes. And I think a lot of people, when they're younger, kind of believe that. But that's not reality, is it? Share with me the lesson you learned from an old blues guy.
Well, this is true. I used to play with Jerry Embry's big band.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was like the second call guitar player. When it was a big gig, mm-hmm, he would hire Willie. And now, mm-hmm, Willie was Fats Domino's guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he'd hire Willie for the big gigs, and he'd hire for the other gigs. And he'd always say, hey, Dave, you need to go listen to Willie. You need to go listen to Willie. And, of course, I just never did because I had other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
So one gig I show up, and Willie is there with me. So there's two guitar players. And so Jerry tells me, hey, man, you're gonna just sit and listen to Willie play the first set. Dave, you're going to play the last song on the first set. Willie's going to listen to you. You guys are going to talk. Willie's going to go home. He's going to get paid for the full gig.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to finally figure out what I mean when I say play like Willie. So I did, you know. So I listened to him, and he played great. He didn't necessarily blow me away, but he played really great.
The point is to be not blown away, to play the right stuff, right?
My initial reaction was, yeah, I can follow what he's doing.
Right.
And then I played my solo, and, you know, I just played a bunch of notes, and I tried to impress Willie.
Mm-hmm.
And,
show us what you mean. Take your cape off here for a second. Show us what Willie did and what you were doing.
Well,
the musicians will appreciate this.
We probably were playing something like All of Me. That's
okay.
You know, all of me, why not take all of me? So we were probably playing something like that. So my probably approach would have been something... something like that,
mm-hmm,
like a lot of notes.
Fresh out of jazz training, all that.
Yeah, I was a grad student at University of New Orleans, and I was studying jazz. So we took the break, and Willie said, I hear what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And he appreciated it.
Yeah, well, he said, I hear what you're doing, but when you do that,
uh-huh,
and the band doesn't do that, you sound wrong. And we love
the effort.
Yeah, well, he just said you sound wrong.
Yeah.
You know, he said you don't have to superimpose stuff
over
things that aren't being superimposed.
Yeah.
And he said, I hear it. I know about that kind of stuff. But what you need to do is play more simply.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would be...
So,
tasteful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's really tasteful. And the way you play rhythm guitar was really good, too.
So when you play with a younger guy today, do you try and impart that?
No, because I don't have Fats Domino experience.
So I
can't really say anything. I can...
But it's real-world experience.
It's
and we're on here right now, and that's...
Yeah. And you grow...
You taught me that. Because I came to you, and you said, hey, look, it's great that you're playing a lot of notes.
Yeah. It's a misconception, I think.
Yeah.
When you, even with jazz, a lot of people hear jazz and they think, they assume that it's a lot of notes, but a lot of times it's actually not a lot of notes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, listen to Joe Pass or Wes Montgomery or Jimmy Rainey.
Barney Kessel. Less is more.
It's a lot of times it's actually really tasteful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost, less is more.
The other thing that we've gone over is, and the thing that I'm having trouble with the jazz thing, we're going to play a bluegrass tune here in a second, but which really doesn't tie into this at all, but
well,
hey, what the heck.
It's very similar, yeah.
But the whole concept of playing pieces of scales that become passing tones that connect chords, like this stuff here is real good. This stuff here connects...
Perfect.
What we're about to play. This Whiskey Before Breakfast song
Yeah.
Just an old Irish fiddle tune, but it connects.
It does. Yeah. I think the way it's written is if you really start talking about it, like the downbeats are,
yeah,
are chord tones, like Tony was saying, like it might be a third or something. It's a part of the chord,
right?
And it's so consistent that it does connect, and it makes it really easy on the ears.
And my misconception was it is hard to pull off.
Yeah, it really is.
My misconception was that when I first started playing or really started trying to learn from you and take this more seriously and play in front of people was passing tones that you wanted to connect, you wanted to land on ones. But what you've taught me, and just looking at guys like Kessel and people like that, is you can land on fives, you can land on threes that denote other chords. Just little tricks like that. You don't get that playing on your own.
Yeah, like you're talking about Barney Kessel. He likes to resolve to the six.
To sixes.
To six, which is kind of weird.
Right.
But if you do it enough, it's not weird anymore.
It's pretty as it can be.
It's really pretty, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's play. This is called Whiskey Before Breakfast. This is an old, I guess, Irish fiddle tune. And this is an arrangement that we stole from Hal Leonard. Thank you, Hal. Whiskey Before Breakfast. All right, David, here we go. 3, 2, 1. By the way, this is thebopshop.net radio.
Yeah.
And Tony is
Tony is teaching there as well. Tony took some lessons, and I said, Tony, you could teach here if you wanted to. And he thought about it for a little bit, and he decided to take on some students, and he's been doing a great job. I love what he gives the students. It's weird because he doesn't have any training in teaching guitar, but he's given all the right stuff. So it's like all the stuff that he brings, and I'm like, wow, I should do that. He's an excellent teacher, and I'd love to see you there at the Bop Shop and get you started on your music journey.
Well, David, throw money. I love it, man. What are we going to do next? Let's do the George Benson thing. You want to?
Yeah, let's do George Benson, yeah.
And this is kind of a little adaptation of Breezin'. For a lot of people, pop jazz, this is kind of my first realization that there was something instrumental out there. About 1976, my brother had the 8-track.
Yeah. And Benson is a monster.
And he's a scary great player.
As far as guitar players go.
Yeah.
He's in the category of monster.
What's cool about him, though, is he kind of has pop sensibilities. He does. Like, he did some of that cheesy pop.
He does, yeah.
But he's a great singer.
He is.
He's an incredible player.
He is. He has a little bit of, like, pop jazz.
Yeah.
You know, you have to come to terms with that. But you meet him on his level, man. He's really hard to top.
He's a Pittsburgh guy. Came out of that Chitlin circuit. Played the Chitlin circuit in the 60s. Yeah. Played all those really dark clubs. And
yeah.
You ever thought about how fun that would have been?
I think it would have been fun, yeah. I don't know if they made a lot of money.
They didn't make any money.
I think Benson, that's the thing that we forget about is you think Herbie Hancock,
yeah,
and these guys, they didn't actually make money when they were doing their groundbreaking stuff. Herbie Hancock was living on somebody's couch when he made Imperial Islands, whatever they
were. Wow.
And we studied that record in college.
Wow.
And we assume that it's made a lot of money, but it didn't. And that's why I think Benson kind of went pop, because he made a lot of money.
Who can blame a guy? I want to eat.
No, you can't blame him, yeah.
This is different. And this is on a mandolin. Fun stuff, man.
It is fun. That's a great song because harmonically it just puts you in that one kind of zone.
Yeah,
you can just relax into it. It's a great way to just have a great time and be freed in that scale.
Yeah,
in that mood, because it doesn't change.
And see, you think of that scale, you think of that as D, and I think of that as A.
Yeah, there's different ways you can think about that things. And
why is that? Why do I think of that as A, but it's in D?
You think of it as A Mixolydian?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's that's how you're hearing it, that's fine. That's good. With a song like that, you can almost click your scale brain off and just intuitively go for it. And you do that really, really good. And a lot of musicians do, but you have that ability too where you can just hit and hope.
Hit and hope, right. And like in the beginning there, I was kind of not in the right, playing the right thing.
Like when beginning of the lesson.
Beginning of? No, beginning of what we just played.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But the point is, it doesn't matter because you...
The intention. You feel it.
And... Well, like, we're getting ready to play Take Five here in a second, which is a real odd song on a mandolin, especially in B-flat, because it makes you stretch your fingers.